The reading for this week is Psalm 119, verses 41 to 48. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law for ever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands, because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees.
Well, thanks, Ant, and to all those that have contributed to this week's Worship at Home service, and a warm welcome to you, wherever and whenever you're listening to this message. Would you like to know God's love more fully? Would you like to experience a greater freedom in your spiritual walk? Then keep listening. In Psalm 119, the author's been reflecting on his relationship with God and the challenges to his faith which arise from within and without. He meditated on his life in the light of God's word. He hasn't done this in order to write an essay, but to help him to live out his faith in practical ways. He brings the realities of his life alongside the promises of God, and his life is transformed. God reveals who he is and who we are through his word. Time and again, the author speaks about the breadth of God's communication, where he refers to God's laws, testimonies, statutes, precepts, commands, ordinances, words, and promises. Does it seem strange to you to put your hope in God's word, delight in his promises, love God's commands? If so, maybe that's because we have a wrong understanding of God's word. God is love. Everything that God does and says is an expression of that love. His warnings and promises of blessing enable the psalmist to stay on the Lord's highway of holiness, the route of blessing and security for his life. A defense against spiritual and verbal attack. What's not to love? At our prayer meeting on Monday night, we thought about the amazing truth that God pays close attention to our words and treasures our prayers. He loves to hear our voices. Should we not love his words, which are more precious by far? Today we're drawing to an end this first series in Psalm 119. We will come back to it again, but as we prepare ourselves to reopen services for in-person worship, we'll be picking up some new themes to help us to move into that new way of being church. But we've been encouraged through God's prophetic word to take with us the memorial stones of this time into the new way of being church. This alludes to those stones which were taken from the bed of the River Jordan when the people crossed over into the Promised Land. They were intended to remind the people living in the land that God had held up the waters of the river so that they could enter. They were there to act as reminders of God's powerful act of grace, which made entering the land possible. We've seen how relevant the book of Esther has become during the last year. I believe that the work of God preparing us through that book, thinking about the time of exile and threat, has been crucially important in this year. Might it be good to see what God has revealed through this ancient psalm, which we can take with us into the 21st century church? This sixth section of the psalm begins and ends with love. Seeking love from God and declaring love towards the Lord's commands. At its heart, it recognises that to walk freely and speak truth to power, you need to delight in God's promises above all else, To delight in God's promises is to delight in God. In the author's particular situation, taunts and the fear of being shamed are the things which may trip him up and lead him to be reluctant to proclaim God's promises to others. It is hard to declare God's faithful love when you're going through personal suffering or have failed in your commitments. Yet there is power in the testimony of those that continue to trust in God's love in times of difficulty. Last week we thought about ending well, that is, continuing to serve God throughout our lives. In this section, the psalmist declares, "I will always obey your law forever and ever." This is because he trusts God's word and puts his hope in God's laws. His obedience comes from love, not duty. His commitment is not just for this life, but for eternity. Christians are often challenged to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, meaning put their faith into practice. The psalmist says that he can walk in freedom because he has sought out God's precepts. Then he declares, "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them." He could not speak with such confidence before earthly kings if he did not walk in line with the statutes of the heavenly king. We know that the psalmist has made mistakes and stepped outside of God's way because he's told us so. But the settled decision of his life is to be obedient to the Lord's commands. His heart is to obey, even if at times he fails to do so. He does not depend on his perfection in keeping the law for his salvation, but calls on God's unfailing love. I spoke last week about the role of good works in Christian life. We're saved by the free gift of God and have assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The significance of our good works, done by faith through the enabling power of the Spirit, is that the quality of our work determines the fruitfulness of our ministry. Let me say that again. The quality of our work determines the fruitfulness of our ministry. The Apostle Paul reminds Timothy about the prophecies once made about him, so that by recalling them, he may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck with regard to faith. If we do not recall God's promises to us in his word, then we'll not be able to hold on to faith and a good conscience, and the consequence will be a shipwrecked ministry. When we hold on to faith, we trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. When we hold on to a good conscience, we respond to God's grace by doing the good works he has prepared in advance for us to do. We need to do both to avoid shipwreck. Outwardly, a ministry may seem to be powerful and effective, but under the surface there may be financial scandal and sexual misconduct. When these become public, much of the fruit of the ministry is lost, just as the cargo is lost in a shipwreck. The sailors may escape with their lives, but everything else is lost. I'm sure that you can think of ministries like that, ministries which gathered large numbers of people, but which collapsed when the truth came to light. The walk did not match the talk. They've not held on to faith and a good conscience. But this principle does not apply only to those in church leadership. Every believer has a ministry. A call to go and make disciples. Your ministry can only be fruitful to the extent that you bring your life into accord with the word of God and speak it out. You can only fight the spiritual battle well if you fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and defend yourself with the shield of faith. The psalmist calls on God to fulfill his promises, so that he can answer anyone who taunts him. He commits to obeying God's commands, motivated by love, so that he can speak before kings and not be put to shame. He does not passively wait for God's word to come to him. He has sought out his precepts and reaches out for God's commands so that he may meditate upon them. The fruit of his life is faith, hope, and love. If we're to walk in freedom from fear, able to answer taunts, internal and external, and speak before those in power without being put to shame, we too need to listen to God's word and put it into practice. We need to reach out for it and meditate on it. Think about the ministry of Jesus. Jesus did not do anything he did not see his Father doing. The law did not restrict him, he walked in freedom. He was able to answer his opponents and speak before kings without being put to shame. He lived out his life in accordance, demonstrating the love of God in action, and defeated the enemy by using God's word from the scriptures. He demonstrated God's love through acts of compassion and taught about God using words. He taught that we should ask, seek, and knock in prayer. This was in the context of seeking the Father to pour out Holy Spirit. Jesus had the most important ministry ever and pressing demands to show compassion. Yet, he often went off to pray alone. I remind you again of our year text. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It is only the Spirit who is able to empower us to walk the talk, to give practical expression to the faith we proclaim. But Holy Spirit will not operate freely in your life if you put your hope in anything other than God's word, if you delight more in the praises of others than the promises of God, if you trust in your own goodness rather than his righteousness, if you love the world more than you love God, then the fire of the Spirit is quenched. God has revealed himself in creation through his word and in Jesus Christ. He continues to reveal himself by the Holy Spirit. If you view God through the filter of your own opinions, excluding all the bits that you don't understand or that you don't agree with, then you create God in your image and will end up with a human-shaped idol. You will find yourself worshipping yourself. If you would know the love of God more fully, then meditate upon the God revealed in creation, in Scripture, and in Jesus Christ. Allow the Spirit to show you your life in the light of the holy God you find there. Recognize just how far short of his ways you've fallen. Because only when we see the enormous gulf between God's holiness and our sinfulness will we grasp how great is the love of God to bridge that gulf. If you would walk in true freedom, then put your hope, trust, delight, and love in the God revealed through his word, and most fully through the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. The world's offer of freedom is a snare, a trap of slavery to sin. Only submission to Jesus sets us free. Here then is a memorial stone to carry out of this time into the new way of being church. Something that we've learned from our experience, which we've been through, that we should never forget. Something that we must testify about to future generations. When congregations were not permitted to sing, or even gather in the same room to pray, when all that we thought was stable was shaken, when grief and fear threatened to overwhelm hope, the Lord's unfailing love came to us. His salvation according to his promise. This is based on verse 41. When we were unable to come together to worship him, he came to us with love and his salvation. When we are able to meet together again, let us not take for granted the privilege or neglect the opportunity. But among the foundations, let's put this memorial stone. The Lord's unfailing love came to us his salvation according to his promise. So how might we respond this week? If you would like to know God's love more fully and experience greater freedom in your spiritual walk, then focus not on what you think or what others say or what you think will make you happy, but on what God says about himself and about you in his word, the Bible. Make this your delight. A practical way to do that this week would be to take the words of verses 41 to 48 and make them your prayer each day of the week. Let's pray together now. Lord, we do thank you that you have met us in our homes. We thank you that you walk with us through this time. We thank you that you prepared us for all that we've been through. And we ask now that we'll pay close attention to what you have said, that we may learn and carry with us the memorial stones that will testify to the God that we have known through this time of exile, that we may build in a new way for this new century. We pray, come Holy Spirit. We ask, seek, and knock for you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Empower us, we pray, that we may serve you in faith and good conscience. Amen.